Well, are you ready for Glenn Jackson? Glenn has moved to Kremlin to be a part of this ministry. We absolutely love him, care for him. His heart has become knit with our hearts. He's a man of God. He writes the JTL ministry letter. If you don't get that, you need to get that. It will equip you. It will let you know the heart of the Father towards you so that you can join your heart to God's heart. Without anything else, Glenn, would you just come and give us what God has given unto you? Praise God.
Praise God. Well, yes, I am actually, but wow, I'm speechless. No. Oh yeah, see. Well, it's been quite a few days. It's been quite a few weeks, quite a few months, quite a few years, actually. But we really have come to a place in time where some extraordinary things are going to happen. And, you know, we've been touching on it the whole conference. And, of course, in the weeks previous between the conferences and also in the time before that, in the great preparation in the cave, which I'm sure many of you know of, three of the last four or five songs, of course, they were all relevant, but three particularly touch on the message today. You know, the one song talking about this is the day of the favor of the Lord and also the vengeance of the Lord. And the next one was, we wait for fire. Now, you know, as I go on, I'm going to pray here in a bit, but as I go on, I want you to really key in on some particular words, which I'll bring up to you. One of them is fire. And then the third part was, there must be more. Oh, yeah. Now, anybody who's spent any time in fellowship with God knows, and is beginning to know, and knows the heart of the Father towards the captives. And it was mentioned last night about the fact that people are not our enemy. And I know that a lot of these revelations have been rolling around in the church for many years. You know, our battle's not against flesh and blood. But now is the time where God is going to reveal himself in his absoluteness. And consequently, these words are going to become alive to us like they never have before. And we're going to deal with some things today. And we'll just have to see where it goes. I came to the first Kremlin or second Kremlin conference with one scripture, and that was all. And this morning, the Father gave me a number of things to cover, so I'm just going to give that all to him, and he can take us where he'd have us go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gathering. Father, I thank you personally for these precious saints and these precious hearts. We thank you, Father, for the faithfulness and obedience to come before you and to seek your heart, and to receive the fullness of all that you have for them, that they might enter into the fullness of your will for their life and ministry. Amen. So we give you all the glory and praise and honor, Father. And we just thank you that you take us exactly where you would go by your Spirit, that you might accomplish your most holy purpose in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the title of this teaching is Environments of Fire. And I just want to review at first a few things. So first of all, you could turn to Luke 10:27. It's been very, very infrequent that the Father's allowed me to begin a teaching without going over this scripture. This scripture defines the divine requirement. It is absolute, and I'll explain a little bit more about that now, but we'll just read that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now that's the first key word I want you to remember, is absolute. Our God is absolute. Now, the key to this scripture is this, that everything that is written in the Word of God, everything that God has spoken, is based on adherence to this principle. If a person doesn't adhere to this principle, then what happens is they come up with false doctrine. They come up with things based on a partiality or a partial God based on their own needs and desires rather than godly purpose. We're going to talk a bit more about godly purpose. But as I said, the time we're entering into now, well, I can define it with a word that he gave me some years ago, actually. He said, in the last of the last hour, the truth must be revealed in his absoluteness to the multitudes. And that, of course, is the essence of true evangelism. That is the essence of the harvest that we are seeking to bring into the kingdom. Amen. So you have to remember that. Another principle is this. In Matthew 5:8, it says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. In this last hour, as great darkness is coming and consuming the world system, and those in heart fellowship with it, only those whose heart is pure before God will be able to see and understand the true and absolute purposes of the Father, without exception. Now, a few years ago, when we first Kremlin conference, around that time, God was beginning to establish glorious connections. Now, a glorious connection can simply be defined as something that has been connected by the glory of God or by the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we know that God wants to create a spotless and unblemished church and that everything must be ordered by God. Now, I think the biggest problem with the revelation coming forth from the throne room that people are having is the fact that up until this time, they've only seen in part because they haven't been in that place of intimacy with the Father and His Word that they need to be. Now, I'm gonna go into more detail here, but I'm just kind of reviewing the last few years and how God has begun to establish things. Now, you know, over the years, the past 20 years, and even in the course of the decades before this, we've seen glimpses of the absoluteness of God's Word being manifested through certain men and women who He's raised up, who've lived lives of holiness, and they've been tremendous signs and wonders to the church and to the world. Smith Wigglesworth comes to mind. There are many, many, many others. But the point is this. Now God is raising up a body where each member is fitly joined to the head and is bringing the things that God has given them to the whole. And, you know, I'm not going to go into depth on this because we all understand the past hierarchy that's been in the church. And it was mentioned previously during the conference about the fact of laity and people up here. And again, I'm going to touch on a scripture which brings more light to that. But it's time for the people of God to understand that they are totally responsible and totally accountable for their salvation. And when I say salvation, I'm not just talking the new birth. The actual word salvation is soteria in the Greek. It means deliverance from every temporal evil. That's exactly what the blood of Jesus accomplished for us. And again, I'm going to deal with this in more detail. But I want you to keep in mind that God has been establishing things and given us glimpses. But now we're in a time where He's about to expand this thing radically. And the only word that's going out to God's people now, because there has been a great time of preparation, there are sons and daughters raised up, trained, as Brady said, already having been trained. You see, when they send an army out on an expedition, they train the army before they send it out. We've seen cases in history where they've had to send out an army because of an emergency. They weren't ready, and it was a total slaughter. And so God is faithful to prepare us, and He has been preparing us. So then, with these glorious connections, God began to establish true spiritual environments. Now, a true spiritual environment is defined simply as a place And I'll, as I go on to explain later, this can be one-on-one with God, or it can be an entire conference, or it can be a very small meeting. It can be anything. But the one thing that defines a true spiritual environment is that it is a place where the Father and His Word can be all that they desire to be in that given moment. Now that's what we're aiming for. You know, the whole revelation of a spotless and unblemished church is another thing that we have to keep in the forefront of our thinking. To the flesh, it is impossible. Absolutely impossible. And unfortunately, up until now, there have been people who have tried to accomplish this, but because of sin consciousness, because of a lack of proximity to the Father and His Word, they have not been able to see the fullness of the revelation, nor have they been empowered to impart that revelation to the people. And therefore, things have remained at a level which causes God's people, those who love Him, to cry out and say, there must be more. Amen. So it's very, very important to keep this whole idea of spiritual environments and that God wants them to be pure so that He can be all that He desires to be to us and to His children. Amen. And then in the June conference, and really what is the essence of all these things I've previously mentioned, you know, as God has trained me over the years, it's been the inner chamber. And the title in that last meeting that God gave me was Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. Now that's the fullness of transition into kingdom living. We need to get this world consciousness and most importantly this fellowship with the world in any way. And again, there was a word previously in the conference about leaving Babylon. The exact word was flee Babylon. When you flee something, you don't casually stroll away from it. And, you know, I would say that if people, this is one thing the Father would have me say to you right now, is that you are people who are being trained up to go out and to impart that which you have received from Him, whether through the time here, in your time with Him, because there are many people out there who are still held captive by spirits of religion. And consequently, and Shelley's been preaching on this about the Pharisaical spirit, but we're coming to a major confrontation. And what God is doing with you and with all of us is preparing us to handle this confrontation perfectly in His love. And you know, we're going to go on and look at some of the aspects of judgment, both sides. So, another thing I want to bring up, Shelley did one of the most remarkable teachings yesterday that I've ever heard. And it is a classic example of third day anointing. Amen. Now, Shelley accomplished everything that the Father wanted her to accomplish in that time. Excellent. And I'm certain that more than a few probably wondered, how in heaven's name am I going to retain this? But this is something I want to make very, very clear. It is very, very important. It is really one of the keys to understanding in this last hour. I mentioned the scripture, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, in true spiritual environments where the impartation of God's word is going forth exactly the way He would have it go forth, then those seeds will be planted. The incorruptible seed of His word will be planted in the hearts of the people. And then, as they go forth to spend time with the Father in the inner chamber, then He can expand and enlighten them further, the seeds that have gone in. And it's the way He set it up. It's the way He set it up. And not only will you understand, but you will understand a further revelation of your part in the church. And this is the way the Father set it up. Can you see the wisdom in that? I mean, the one thing that people have to understand, and this will become evident throughout the body of Christ in the days ahead, is that the very first principle of relationship between God and man was that He created man so that He would have fellowship with them and that man could fellowship with Him and come to know Him. His purpose has never changed. I'm going to deal with that. Our God is a God of purpose. He is a God of perfect purpose. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So therefore, the principle that will be the catalyst to the spotless and unblemished church is intimacy with the Father and His Word. lock that one away, because everything you're going to hear from the true ministers of God from this point in is going to link directly back to that principle. And if you will adhere in obedience to the Holy Spirit concerning the inner chamber, and I'm going to redefine that in a second for you people that weren't here in June. If you will adhere in obedience to that, you will grow very rapidly spiritually, and you will have a grasp of spiritual reality that you didn't think was possible this side of heaven. And this is where we're going. We are a people who have been crying out saying there must be more, and now God is about to release the more. Now, the inner chamber. Now, this is a word the Father gave me concerning this and as it applies to each individual believer. The inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. Amen. It is first and foremost a proper heart position. Amen. Before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. Once again, the onus, the actual motivation of all true ministry is to lead the people of God into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. And the basis of that motivation will always be to put the onus on God's people to enter into the inner chamber. Amen. Always. Now, what's going to happen when that begins to happen en masse is the fact that when the apostles and prophets come forth, any ministers of God come forth, then it is going to be a major confirmation and expansion of the revelation that you've already received. Now, what I'm speaking to you of so far this morning is the perfect order that the Father has established. And as I said in June, it's a foolproof plan. People will not casually wander on this highway. Amen. It is a highway of holiness. It is the road to Zion. It is the narrow path. Amen. And it is the bridge that Bill talked about, for those of you who have read that vision. And there is a narrow gate, and there's one way to enter in, and that one way is the inner chamber. So having established that, we're going to move on to some things. And again, I'll repeat, our God is a God of purpose. And one of the keys to the inner chamber is that when you are in the inner chamber daily, you will have a revelation of His purpose. You see, we have all these wonderful principles in the Word of God, you know, and we know that obedience is the key to all things, of faith, love, and obedience. It's a cycle, it's a kingdom cycle. Faith works by love, and love is demonstrated by obedience. And it takes faith to walk in obedience, as we know. So that cycle continues when we place the Word, give the Word preeminence in our lives. The inner chamber is the place of empowerment. And as I said before, it is the key to the fullness of transition. We are still in transition, but we are moving more rapidly with each passing day, spiritually speaking. There's no question about that. See, our God is not a God of time. But because He's a God of purpose, His purpose has to enter into time just because of the way the situation is. And so our God is a God of the fullness of time. The fullness of time is defined as that moment that His perfect purpose, the fullness of His purpose, enters into manifestation in the physical realm. And as we know, people who are seeking God, this is beginning to accelerate and rapidly things are going to come in. We've heard teachings about suddenlies. This is a day of suddenlies. Amen. And again, you see, the whole key is to be ready, to get ready and stay ready, to be in a place where your heart is guarded with all diligence. Amen. Just a short time ago, the Father just opened something up to me about the inner chamber. I mean, it's one thing to understand that, yes, it is important. It's the key to all things. But as I read the scriptures, they just kept jumping out at me. Things like, you know, the scripture says, acknowledge God in all your ways and He will direct your paths. Well, how do you acknowledge God in your own, in all your ways, in your own strength? You can't do it. Now, one of the major problems in the church up to this point has been that people, and I'm talking about people who are seeking God, has been that people have still maintained that just that little ground of control over their lives because of fear, and consequently, they have not been able to let go of forming their own consecration. Well, if I do this, if I read this many chapters today, if I do that, if I do this, if I do that, then that'll please God. And again, it's very subtle, because everything looks good outwardly, and even, well, it looks good outwardly, but the essence of that is works. And so what the Father is doing, and it will literally obliterate any schemes that the devil has been working to hold God's people out of the fullness of their inheritance, is to reveal himself and to reveal his tender love and affection for his people. Now, we're going to talk about fire. And turn over to Deuteronomy 4. This is a key. I mean, I'm telling you, God told me, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but he said, I'm going to simplify this for you. I said, well, that's good, because I need that. But, of course, I didn't realize it was going to be about a 10-year process. But it is, because God has a simple and straightforward plan. But the one catch is, for those who are still out there in the world, you know, in the religious church, is that it's absolute. And it has to be done absolutely his way, or it won't be done at all. And this is the essence of the judgment that is about to, that has already begun in the household of God. I better go to Deuteronomy here. All right. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Now, we're just going to go where the Spirit leads. This is a large topic, but I've locked this in prayer, and I know that he will speak exactly what we need to hear in this time. Verse 20, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession." Amen. As today. "Now the Lord was angry with me on your account and swore that I should not cross the Jordan, that I should not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance." Another key word. "For I shall die in this land. I shall not cross the Jordan, but you shall cross and take possession of this good land. So watch yourselves. Guard your heart with all diligence, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he has made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire." Amen. Key scripture. A jealous God. And now we're going to see this as the day of his favor is released in the midst of his righteous ones, and as at the same time it will be the day of his vengeance, because he's coming. He is coming, and he's going to pour out his presence in the midst of his people. Okay, turn over to, maybe I better go on. Okay, verse 25, "When you become the father of children and children's children, and have remained long in the land, and act corruptly, and make an idol in the form of anything, and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you shall surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where the Lord shall drive you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice." So just to simplify this, there have been people who again have tried to enter into the fullness of their inheritance, but have maintained part back in their own lives. And as I said, God is coming to judge. And there are a lot of elements to this judgment. Those whose hearts are wholly given to him, those who are seeking first the kingdom, the command is to get ready and stay ready. Because as you do, God will accomplish more through you than, again, you can even comprehend could have happened this side of heaven. But there are different elements. People are going to get caught where they are. This will be an absolute judgment. Our job is to get ready and stay ready. And I'm going to go on and explain some of the ways that God is going to use us in that judgment. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Again, our God is a consuming fire. And that is extremely important to remember. You know, many times over the years, as I was began to serve the Lord, words would come up, words like grace. You know, for so many years, it meant it was grace. Grace. It really didn't mean anything the way it means to me now. And it's the same with words like fire. You know, and again, I'm going to share some prophecy with you of what the Father actually spoke concerning fire and his purpose as he reveals himself to us in this last hour. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. There's another key. That was wonderful last evening, the revelation that the Father gave Bill, because it's a key. Again, this rapid spiritual growth that we are now going to begin to experience will blow the lid off so many of the religious traditions, so many of the things that have held us back. And it's a glorious time, because even though we've had much glorious revelation, it has only been the tip of the iceberg. You know, as I said, the Father desires to reveal himself in his absoluteness, his word in his absoluteness, and we have to be preparing for a time that we cannot even comprehend in our soul, let alone try to maintain the will of God in the soul. And it's very, very important to realize that we need to keep our spirit man in dominance over our soul and body. And the way we do that, again, is in intimate fellowship with God. You know, any problem that anybody's having now, or any of the people that you're going to run across in the days ahead, the key is the inner chamber. If the people will really desire to be free, they will cast aside all fear, take a step of faith to enter into the presence of a holy God, and allow his fire to purge and consume. I've experienced both sides of it. I've experienced his love in that place of intimate tenderness, where that fire was just like a warm glow, you know, just emanating from your innermost being to heal and to remove and to purge and to cleanse and to reveal, to enlighten all the elements, the positive elements of fire. And then I've stood in the middle of fire. That wasn't so pleasant. But nonetheless, it accomplished the same thing. And you see, only those who are truly rebellious in heart will run from the fire in this last hour. And this, again, we've talked about the cities of refuge. That's one element of the spiritual environments that God wants to create. But the first and the key spiritual environment, which will even make that possible, which will make the glorious connections possible, is that true spiritual environment alone with him. And it is so extremely important. And as I said about a week and a half ago, he opened things up to me in a manner which is just amazing. You can take any scripture, any command that he gives, and you will see that that empowerment comes from his presence alone. And, you know, from there we'll have understanding instead of trying to do it in our own strength. We may have to start out that way, but the key is to seek him. And really, isn't that part of what seeking first the kingdom means? I mean, how are you going to know what the kingdoms are? How am I going to know what the kingdom's all about if we don't seek him first? You see, there's only two types of knowledge in this earth. One is revelation knowledge, and one is sense knowledge. And I mean, again, an absolute principle. I mean, sense knowledge is absolutely useless. And it's not only is it useless, but it lures you out of the realm of faith. Because you don't, you put faith, and it's not real faith, divine faith, it's self-effort and natural faith, you put in your circumstances around you. God is calling the church to be a church who are filled with a revelation of his purpose so that they can move forward. I'm telling you, oh, there is so much to this, and I'm believing I get through the first page. There's only seven. But the point is, I know it's in his hands, and if for whatever reason Janine hauls me off the stage for so, everything will be in the synopsis later on. Marty, you get the shotgun, right? That's good. Okay, Hebrews 10:19. Now I just stopped there on the blood of Jesus. It's so important to find out again in the inner chamber. You will begin to see yourself as the Father sees you, and when you see that, you will never ever fear man again, as you maintain that relationship. Because once you know who you are in His eyes, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. Yeah. And not only that, you will be walking in a place of revelation. Yeah. So that you will be in a position not to get offended and to continually maintain that love walk and continually maintain that impartation of fire. Yeah. Or healing, whatever that presence needs to bring. And this is the point. This is the whole point. Or the whole reason, rather, why there has been a lack of power in the church. I mean, to me, I see needs out there in amongst the children of God, and it really irks me sometimes. I mean, it really does. It gets to me that we, as a church, individually, in some cases, corporately, have not been in a position to truly meet the needs of the people. I mean, we're walking around in the church, in part, stumbling around like lost sheep. And here, God is calling us up as a holy vessel to be a pure impartation of His power to the world. I'm telling you, they're going to see the living Christ before we're done. And when they do, it's a whole different ballgame. Shelley's been preaching on third day evangelism. I mean, when in light of what the revelation God is giving Shelley, when you look back at the second day, all you see is a lot of wasted effort. I mean, I thank God for somebody who came was born again. But heavens, you know, did they become sons of God? Did they step into the kingdom? You know, were they baptized with fire? Were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Have they developed a relationship with God? The answer is no, for the most part. And so God has had to raise up small pockets of believers, those whose hearts are wholly given to Him. But here's the key. These spiritual environments that have begun in the past few years are going to expand radically. I'll prophesy this to you right now. There are people, some of you sitting here right now, who have absolutely no concept of the magnitude of what God has called you to. And I'm telling you, the only way you're even going to be able to not only get the revelation of it, but to handle that revelation is to stay in fellowship with God. Amen. I'll share this right now. It's extremely important. The Father gave me a vision some time ago, and I saw people on a platform like this. It was more like a public school auditorium, you know, they're smaller, the stages are smaller. And I saw men and women, children, black and white, Jew and Greek, any combination you can think of, husband and wife. And I saw them holding hands side by side, linked, all equal. And the Father said to me, this is the way I view my children. It doesn't matter if you're called as an apostle or if you're called as a church janitor. You are all equal in the sight of the Father. And your perfect part in His plan is just as important as anybody else's. Now that is going to become a reality to us in the days ahead. Up until now, there's still been that, you know, and it's true. God has had to raise up and is raising up a true working fivefold ministry, and we'll get to that scripture, but for a distinct purpose so that we can all come up to the same place of fellowship with Him so that we can all learn to abide in revelation knowledge so we can all do our part so that no matter where we move, where we go, where He sends us, we're living and moving and having our being in Christ, and the Father is represented perfectly, and Jesus is represented perfectly, and that should be, and we're bearing maximum fruit, and that should be the absolute aim of every believer. Amen. And now, again, another element of the fire in this time in the inner chamber is the fact that it will purge all sin consciousness from you. You are not who you were. You are who you are because of the blood of Jesus. Yeah. You know, of course, the one thing that went with that is it said that we might no longer live for ourselves. Another absolute kingdom principle. I better go on here. Okay. So, God has a purpose. So, in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean. Oh, that sprinkling daily. Sprinkling clean. It means so much. To be quite honest with you, in these days, I've come to learn over the years, if I step apart from that, I fail. Step apart from the inner chamber and what God has required of me, and if I stay in it, I succeed. It's black and white. And that's the way it's going to come for the whole body. And that really is the essence of the judgment that's coming. So, as we set ourselves in perfect position, we can have that assurance of always overcoming. Again, you know, we're called to be overcomers. How do we receive empowerment to overcome in all things? From the very presence of God. I mean, of course, it's the incorruptible seeds and the impartation of His presence in giving the first fruits of the day to Him will run the whole day. And it will just, we're still linked. I mean, the Holy Spirit goes with us, but we're linked. We're in continual communication with God. I'm not going to go there for long, but again, the scripture in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. It just simply means stay in constant communication with God. If it wasn't possible, He wouldn't have written it. These things are possible. We need to get our thinking elevated to understand that these things are awesome and they are unattainable by any other way than His pure and unadulterated power. Now, verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Again, adversaries. God's not coming to rain fire down on people so they can just perish, but He's coming to rain fire down on everything that is apart from Christ. And those would be the religious spirits, as far as we're concerned, in the church and different other things. And so the key then is for the children of God to break allegiance or alignment with these lying spirits. That's the key. So you see, the judgment is coming, just like the rain falls in this entire city. And it is going to affect people where they are in heart relationship with God. It's very, very important. We're going to deal more with that. Verse 29. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Two things here. Again, I want you to get your minds on the absoluteness of God's purpose. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We are talking now about a holy and a jealous God wanting to come on the scene. If he came on the scene the way he wanted to in the earth, mankind would simply perish. But he's raising up a holy vessel that he can pour out his presence. And the degrees of judgment that happen between now, even through the great tribulation, to the time when judgment becomes so physical and so intense, we are going to see elevated degrees in that. Of course, we're not going to be here for that. But the fact is, you know, it's better to go into the presence of God, allow Him to remove the impurities, remove the dross, and gently, I think that was mentioned earlier too in the conference, gently remove things. Because it's in these last days, a lack of a reverence of God is going to produce a certain expectation of judgment. Yeah. And so you're either going to have a fear of God in the sense of a reverence and serving Him with a heart wholly given, or you're going to have a fear of this judgment that's coming upon the entire earth. Now, okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so, verse 30. I have to go back there. Again, it said in verse 26, if we go on sinning willfully. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that people choose self-desire, and they may call it the will of God, but they choose self-desire and sense knowledge, and that's where that discernment of that comes from, and instead of a revelation of God's will and operating His holy purpose. So it's not like everybody's just going to get caught. I mean, God is a righteous God, a just God, and every last person on the face of this earth at this point is being brought towards the point of decision. Now, I'm talking absolute decision. Our God is an absolute God, and the decision He calls us to make is absolute. He didn't just usher us, you know, into the new birth and then say, well, you know, live the rest of your lives for yourself. That's what's happened in the church, because it's more comfortable to do that. I mean, it's a great assurance to have eternal salvation, although, you know, it's a dangerous game to play. And in this last hour, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to people, you people here and the people who will hear this, whose hearts are wholly given, who desire, you know, the fullness of God's will. But the point is, in what the Father is saying here, is that you are going to run into people whose hearts aren't wholly given. And you, if you really want to love, fulfill the command to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to be a vessel of holy fire. You need to be a vessel of empowerment, so that whatever need that person has will be brought to light and taken care of, but at the very least, they will be brought to a point of decision. You know, the Father gave me word a long time ago in the beginning. He said, no man goes to hell except by their own choice. You know, really, no man does anything except by their own choice. And thank God, I mean, He has provided the way for us to understand Him and to know His purpose and to make a decision for Him. So, you know, sinning willfully is not a light thing. There has to be an element of rebellion there, because rebellion will blind a person to the point where they will believe they're in the will of God and yet actually be completely out of it. And that is rebellion. So, but the good news is God is raising up a glorious church, a fiery vessel that will enlighten and consume things. And people can make the decision to get in or get out, but they're going to have to make that decision in this last hour. Verse 30, for we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge His people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a loving God. I just, you know, one thing that's just really heavily on my heart is the fact that every believer has an opportunity right now in this time to come into that place of that perfect intimate fellowship that I talked about previously. And, I mean, the Father is so gentle and so tender and so affectionate. He is perfect. He holds the key. He holds his very character and the very essence of His being holds the answer to the absolute desire of any heart, any desire. In other words, if you feel that you're lacking something, if you see people that are lacking something, that's what they're lacking. He's got it right there in the inner chamber. See, the whole key to this really is that we are a people, we need to get our own needs met. We need to understand who we are so that we can go out and impart to the world. The time is coming where no longer will the sick walk in the midst of the righteous. They'll either get healed or have to depart. But the same things that have motivated them in the past, the fear, will keep them out of the blessings of God. But as Bill, again, so gloriously revealed last night, if you will come and embrace Him, then the fullness of His blessing will come. And I will say this about the love of the Father. One of the basic characteristics of His love is that it heals, but it also restores. So, in other words, it removes any impediment within us, anything that's part of the law of sin and death, the curse. But not only that, it doesn't just leave you standing there, fine, to go back and do what you've been doing, but it restores you, it places you with both feet in the kingdom for the purpose of fulfilling all that God created you for. That is divine empowerment. Again, many people have tried to get healed. They've tried to serve God. They've tried to accomplish all that He has for them. But in our own strength, we fall short of the glory. But in His presence, there is a supernatural impartation which we are going to see in these days ahead, which will heal all that desires to be healed. It's very important to remember that. No case is too hopeless. Turn over to Ephesians, please. Now, when I started to meditate on some of the scriptures in this book, it was like, you know, you just have to do the whole thing. I almost am. But I just want to touch on certain things in Ephesians, which will, again, paint a revelation, paint a clear picture in our heart where we are now. This is a wonderful letter that was written. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places, in Christ. Again, in Christ. If you do a study of that in the New Testament, you will see some amazing things. You will get a picture of who we are in Christ. Again, the inner chamber is the key to abiding in Christ, in the Anointed One and His anointing. I mean, we've seen enough of carnal Christianity. I mean, Billy Graham once called it a monster, going to seek and devour. But not anymore. So every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. I could go into a lot of things here, but I've got to jump over this quickly. Obviously, meditating on Ephesians is a good idea for people. In verse 17, in verse 1, Paul is praying. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Another key to this last hour, because you're either going to be walking in revelation knowledge or sense knowledge. Sense knowledge will take you off the proper course, and revelation knowledge will keep you on it. And the only way that you can keep revelation knowledge is to continually acknowledge God in all your ways so that He will direct your paths. All these principles work together. The point that the Holy Spirit, I can sense, seeks to get across is that we are coming to a time of absolute accountability. And so those who are faithful and obedient to God will walk in the fullness of His divine purpose, and those who don't won't. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know, His purpose. What is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. It has extremely been simplified to me in the past years. It's come down to this. We're called to believe. Believe what? Believe the purpose that He's revealed to your heart. Believe the Word as He's revealed it to your heart. Believe. But to believe, you need to see. Because the devil is constantly trying to get us to believe something, if not totally out of the ballpark, at least below the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. And that is not a good thing in these days. See, God is not, He's issuing a call, a heart call, and I'll share a word with you in a bit, but a heart call to His people to come into His presence because He loves you. First of all, yes, there's the purpose of the church and all the things of the kingdom that have yet to be established and a glorious time ahead. But when it comes right down to it, He wants you to come into His presence. All right, now in verse 20, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. If you want a simple definition of the apostolic anointing and authority that's now coming on the church, it's this: the impartation of Christ all in all. That's it. We can do nothing apart from Him. Absolute kingdom principles. Now, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, or righteous works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, again, another element of the inner chamber. How are we going to walk in works that are already prepared if we don't maintain perfect position before Him? And how do we maintain perfect position before Him day in, day out? We're talking about coming to the place of abiding except by fellowship with him in his presence. Now you see, I can preach this to people, but if they don't make the choice to enter in and experience what actually happens there, it's a spiritual transaction. It's an impartation. It's a fusion of the Father's heart to our heart, which empowers, enlightens us and empowers us to do all things. That is very, very, very important to understand. This is not just something that we do. This is an actual transaction. When you go into a store and you buy something, you go do your shopping, you plunk the stuff down on the counter, you give them your money, you take the stuff, you walk out the door. That's a transaction. Well, every time you enter into the door of the inner chamber, into the presence of the Father and His Word, something happens. Something glorious happens. And you know, sometimes it's not, you know, so seemingly exciting, because sometimes He's dealing with us and purging us, but it's always in perfect love. But I'll tell you, for the most part, I mean, He'll honor that. I mean, if people are obedient to come in, if they cast aside the fear, my goodness, when we get in trouble, when we have things in our life that shouldn't be there, we need to run to God, not from Him, especially in this hour, because Satan is just like a sniper. He's just looking for people who just run outside, you know, that place rebelliously. You know, they feel they're not worthy, but, you know, I read that scripture in Hebrew, and I don't have time to preach this today, but the fact is that every act of the flesh, everything sown to the flesh, is an absolute denial of the blood of Jesus. That's the ultimate spiritual reality behind that. And of course, as God's judgment comes upon the church, that is going to become evident. And these are, and of course, the second part of that was insulting the Spirit of grace. You know, we've been talking about the Pharisaical spirit in the past weeks, and the fact that I think the Greek is blasphemodoxa. It's to blaspheme the glory, the very presence of God. And that spirit is one of the key elements of the spirit of Antichrist to operate. And we have to be, first of all, to overcome it in our own lives, we need to be in God's perfect provision. And then, of course, in being in that perfect provision, we can cause others to be set free. I mean, I remember this. I have to repeat this again. I remember two preachers sitting there talking, and they were just talking about some things in the end times. And he basically said, you know, he said, as far as I could see, there's only one thing worse than going to hell. And he said, that's to be in this earth during the Great Tribulation. Now, I've got to tell you, between now, I mean, there's a lot of people believe a lot of different things. It doesn't matter. When people draw close to the Lord, they'll know the times and the seasons. They may not know the day and the hour, but they'll know the times and the seasons. That's important. There's another thing the inner chamber accomplishes. This is no time to be walking around blind in the church. And so we need to become vessels that impart the light of God, the fire of God. People need to be woken up. They need to be aroused. You know, I mean, we've talked about it before, but how many times we've all had this happen? You witness to somebody and they just look like somebody hit them with a bat, and then they just walk away like nothing happened. But that's not going to happen in this last hour. People will be brought. There will be to a point of decision. There will be a reaction in everything to everything you say and to everything you do. And so you need to be armed and dangerous, actually, and so that you can bear maximum fruit for the kingdom. See, the ultimate goal in all of this for all of us, if we truly love the Lord, is to step into heaven and have Jesus come up and put His arm around you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've accomplished everything that the Father created you for." I mean, that's it. Another simplification, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. How much time do I have, Jean? Okay. Okay. Okay, here's a word. Yes, we are going fast forward. This is Shelley mode here. Here's a word that He gave me. I want you to meditate Ephesians. There's some other scriptures I have, but just meditate. Let the Holy Spirit have those scriptures jump into your heart and be expanded, because we've studied them for years, but oh, there's something special happening now. As you go into fellowship with God, He is absolutely revealing Himself. And those scriptures are like you've never read them before. And there's a great empowerment in that. Great understanding, great revelation of His purpose. Here's a word He gave me some time ago. He said, as my children begin to assimilate my word into their spirits, I shall be enabled to reveal to them the thoughts and intentions of my heart. And I will satisfy their desires even in the scorched places, and I will guide them continually. But many turn their gaze from me and harden their hearts against me, having been held captive by the evil one to do his will. And truly, truly, I say to you, the consuming fire of my spirit will cause my children to either run farther from me or closer to me in this last hour. For I will not usurp the will of a man who has had my anointed word put forth to him. For in having the truth revealed to his heart, his will must choose to believe what I will, or surely he will lean upon his own understanding and follow his own selfish ambition or desire. For truly I say to you that if my children do not believe what I will is best for them, surely they themselves will seek after their own understanding. Rejoice, for I have raised up many who will put forth my will in power, and my children will once again cry out, Abba, Father, from their hearts. For I have been maligned falsely as one who does not meet the needs of his children. But truly I say to you, I shall bring abundant prosperity, such as the world has never seen, upon those who abide in my word. For in this last hour, the truth shall set free all those who truly love me from the bondage which up until this time they have allowed, quotation marks, themselves to be chained with. So it's extremely important, again, to the Father for us to enter in with him. I mean, it's a simple thing. I mean, isn't it funny sometimes how even in the natural we can understand things so clearly, but somehow we have to put a spiritual thing on it, and then God becomes some you know, holy being millions of miles away. And it can't be that way anymore. Boy, there's just something going on with the Holy Spirit. He is just absolutely raised up and irritated against anything that even paints any kind of image that God is not approachable. That is key. Now, since I'm not going to do any of the scriptures in Isaiah, I want you to meditate on Isaiah 1 right through to the beginning of Isaiah 6. You will see a perfect type and symbol of the reason why God judges his people, and you will see his ultimate aim in the beginning of 6, and that is, the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. Okay, that's good. That's fine. Thanks. Woo! All right. I told you I was going into fast mode. I had a vision one time, and this really was after God had shown me that he was going to pour out his fire through his people. And what it was, I saw a beautiful church building. It appeared outwardly that it was a very prosperous church, but then I saw the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit as a whirlwind, and it passed over and through this church, and all that was left was charred and smoking rubble. And this was a type and symbol. God has never dealt with me in the types and symbols he's given me where the cold, hard denominations are concerned. He's talking about so-called cutting edge movements out in the second day, because we already know the destiny of you know, the unrepentant religious churches, denominations. But what he's saying is that he is now coming to reveal all things. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, the Apostle Paul, verse 10, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All another absolute principle. No other foundation. Again, there's another thing in the inner chamber, is that even though we can learn things and see things, and you know, we even go over the scriptures, and we get some sort of knowledge of the scripture, the fusion comes in the very presence of God. It's a fusion that will serve you well. It's a fusion that will plant seeds or expand on the seeds and will cause those seeds to grow in you and to expand the vision. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, God had this planned all along. I don't know why we took 20 years to even come to this point, but praise God. I'm thankful we're here. Now, so I'm just going to read a bit about on this. It says in verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now picture yourself as a holy vessel, filled with the very presence of God. Remember that our God is a consuming fire. You can easily see that we are going to be vessels of fire. Here's a word that he gave me concerning that. Those of my children who have given themselves wholly to me, I shall make vessels of fire. Fire that will both expose and consume all that is apart from me and bless all that is for me. Truly I say to you, as they speak my words in the power of the resurrection and the authority of the ascension, then the hearts of the rebellious ones shall surely be cut to the quick. And the fire on the words which they speak in my name shall both expose and devastate the deepest desires of their hardest hearts and darkened minds. Now I want to say to you from this word that God has a plan to an anointing on the third day church to absolutely bring all those who cross our path to the point of decision. Even the hardest cases, even the most rebellious ones, many are going to repent and come into a true and full repentance. I must say this about this anointing of fire that God is blessing his people with, and it's this, that not only in this last day will people be led to a deep and thorough repentance, but they will be baptized, born again, filled with the Spirit, and baptized in fire, which will set them in a place of hungering and thirsting after righteousness for the remainder of their time in the earth. That is the ultimate goal of true third-day evangelism. And that's what God is preparing us for. The results we can't even comprehend, but we know they'll be magnificent. Another word, the anointed words of my true servants are as shafts of light and flames of fire. I have prepared them as vessels of fire, and the spirit of judgment and burning shall operate through them. Vessels which shall purify and cleanse my church through the power of their spoken words and the anointing that shall flow in torrents through them upon all flesh. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. I'm actually going to finish this. I may be a little over. Oh, wow, that's good, Janine. Okay. Well, that no. last time I was here, I didn't even see her. I didn't even see the congregation. I just, it was time. Okay, so I want you to meditate on the first six chapters of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit will cause you to see the purpose of God's judgment. You know, we've had misconceptions. It's like, oh, God's going to come and beat people with a stick. No, no. It's just the holiness of God entering into a sin-filled world. It's going to be cataclysmic. But thank God, you know, we are called as holy vessels, and it's going to be quite a day. So I'm going to finish. Well, there's a lot. I mean, there really is. But thank goodness. I mean, you know, we don't have time now to have six-year college courses for people to sit under. Now, there's going to be some pretty intensive training because ultimately, some of the environments that God wants to establish will go 24 hours a day. That doesn't mean you'll be sitting there for 24 hours a day, but it means that people will be coming and going, people will be teaching and off and on over that period of time, and people will begin to come into these cities of refuge, these environments, schools of the Holy Spirit or environments of the Holy Spirit, as God called them. So, praise God. So, I'm shocked. So I'll finish with this. It's four scriptures and 25 very short prophecies. Very short. So here we go. I got to do this. Okay, the scriptures, Psalm 75:2. When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. Psalm 102:12-13. But you, O Lord, abide forever, and your name to all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion. For it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. Psalm 119:126, it is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Habakkuk 2:2-3, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. I proclaim to you now by the Spirit of God that it is time, that the time has come now. And have I got time to read a few of these? All right, here we go. These are some of the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart extracted from various prophecies over the years, and they all began with "It is time," because that is the heart of the Father. It is time. It is always His time to establish the fullness of His purpose in any given moment. It is time for the cloak of religion to be torn away. It is time for the false gods and idols which have captivated the hearts of the multitudes to be destroyed. It is time for the harvest to be secured according to what each one of my children have sown to. It is time to both expose and remove from my church the ministers of corruption and perversity, those who have both ignored and mishandled my holy word. It is time for the multitudes to see the living Christ in a way which they have never been able to see Him before. It is time for the strongholds which have continued to hold many of my children in bondage to be destroyed. It is time for my apostles and prophets to explode on the scene and reroot the course of an adulterous and backslidden church. It is time for my love to be shed abroad in and poured forth through the hearts of the many. It is time for all the works of iniquity to be exposed. It is time for the revelation of my sons and daughters in the earth. It is time for the fear of the Lord to reign in the hearts of all those who profess their love for me. It is time for those who have mocked and scorned my beloved Son to perish at the hands of their own foolishness. It is time for the body of Christ to awaken and arise. It is time for my power and my glory to fill the earth. It is time for death and its, quote-unquote, Lord, to be trampled beneath the feet of my beloved Son, Church, never to rise again. It is time for those who truly love me to take up their cross and thus deny themselves. It is time for faith, love, and obedience to once again be established as the foremost priority in the lives of all of my children. It is time to reap the harvest of the fruits of your labor. It is time for my people to build their firm foundation on the rock, for the heavy rains are fast approaching. It is time for my children to come to the realization that my word means exactly what it says. It is time for all of my children to abide in my word to a much greater degree than they ever have before, for the end of this age has come, and all the weapons of their warfare must be in perfect working order for them to walk in absolute victory, a victory which is devoid of any failure or defeat. It is time to proceed, and as my judgment of my household intensifies with each passing day, you will see many who were thought to be beyond reproach by my people fall, and all of their works which did not proceed from obedience to my word and my spirit shall be exposed. It is time for the world to see the unlimited power of Almighty God. It is time for my sons and daughters to go forth in the power of my anointing to devastate the works of Satan. For too long the reality of my people has been found in that which is temporal. But truly I say to you, that day is at an end. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for these days. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to love you and to serve you and to live in this time and be vessels of the fulfillment of your most holy purposes. Father, we just thank you for an anointing of fire, praise God, in each one of our lives to move on from here and to fulfill all that you created for us in Christ. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.